I've had the wonderful opportunity to interview some of the most accomplished and successful Montreal media figures, such as Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, former Habs hockey player George Larac, and pop stars David Usher, Cyril Kumar, and Véronique Tiquet in my work as an entertainment journalist over the years.
We have to move to green energy. We absolutely have to.
Just the idea that we all have the capacity to make a difference in the world, and that's what I was doing.
When I was going to play, whether you watch hockey or not, you're going to know who I am because I'll be doing something.
You have to believe in what you do and don't ever forget that what you do is your playground.
Through all the difficulties, how do you, you know, stand strong and, you know...
Yoga is to eliminate the misery.
I've also interviewed Canadian rock band Nickelback and world-renowned spiritual master Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, who's changing the world for the better. So I've often been asked by people to do a podcast. So I'm so proud to welcome you to our Montreal's Moments podcast by Zensa Media Incorporated.
That's Montreal's with a Z.
Lots of thought-provoking, humorous conversations about our media industry in North America, with an emphasis on Montreal, one of the best multicultural cities in the world. Interviews with cool artists, public figures that drop by our city, proud local Montreal artists and entrepreneurs, or people who just love our city and have something to say about it.
Now, why did we name it Montreal's Moments Podcast? So that's just a play on words, the Z and the M, representing Zensa Media, of course. So that was a fun idea that we thought represents us very well. We love our city and we love our Zensa Media crew. So the Z is, that's what the reason it's there for. So we hope you're going to enjoy it. And my colleague Alexandra will be dropping by once in a while to co-host with me. So another topic that I wanted to talk about is my experience with SODEC. I have heard all kinds of things about SODEC. I think right when I got into the industry, probably on my first job, and over the years I had heard, not really positive comments about them, actually, to be very honest. I think I rarely have heard anything positive about them. People used to talk to me about them, usually not in a very good light. Reason being, not because it's not a good organization. I think it's an important organization in the industry. I think that kind of support, it's a taxpayer-funded arts grant organization. It is needed, but I don't think that it's very equitable, and I think a lot of people can agree with that. And people don't speak about it openly. We don't have constructive conversations about this organization and how it's run. And we pay for this organization, all of us, including people who are not part of the arts and culture industry, but might have kids that are, or might just enjoy entertainment, love movies, going to the theater, whatever the case may be. Art is generally a part of pretty much everybody's lives in some way or another, in the media, in its various facets. We listen to music, we watch movies, we watch theater shows and, you know, such things. So it's an organization that's an important part of our society. However, I really genuinely feel that a lot of the way SODEC is a very important part of society as far as funding for arts. However, I feel a lot of the policies that they have are very outdated. And there's no constructive conversations about them anywhere. Behind the scenes, a ton of conversations going on about how they do things, people's experiences with them, which is usually the big part of discussions, a lot of eye rolls whenever the topic comes up, because people have had, such terrible experiences. But of course, there's people having wonderful experiences, but that's a very small percentage. And those people are not out there mentoring young and upcoming, artists or helping them out. As far as I know a couple of arts organizations where you can speak to someone, but you never really get the full picture, right? Like, it's a complex thing to apply for grants. There's fees involved, which there aren't in some of the federal arts organizations. So you're not only contributing with your taxes to this organization, to the staff, to the board members, but you're also having to pay, if I'm not mistaken, it's $50 for short films, $350 to apply for regular films, feature films. And I've heard, but I would have to double check this, $1,000 when you're applying for much bigger budget projects for film. And then, of course, I'm sure you already know, because I've talked a lot about this, and I'm sure many of you have probably heard as well from other sources, 80% goes to the French media and the French artists, and less than 20% is capped by law in a codified law since 1994, goes to Anglophones, multilinguals, indigenous artists, and foreign language films with subtitles. Can you imagine if someone like myself and my colleague Alexandra were to apply, we'd probably have like a 5% chance of getting accepted. I mean, and then it's like you're paying $350 to pitch a feature film and present it in your application. And if you don't get it, which most people won't, only a few will be selected, that's money pretty much to the garbage. And the application process is a tough one. It's all in French. So even if you're applying for an English language film, you're not just going to have basic French application. You're going to have a bureaucratic experience. You're going to have law terms, bureaucratic business French that many French people can't even understand, to be honest. And I'm sure if you ask someone at SODEC, I don't think they will acknowledge that anyone has a problem with it, as was our experience. We were told nobody has said on any of this, it's only my team, that has mentioned that that's an issue. Well, it is. I mean, we speak excellent French, but there's a level of bureaucratic business law language that not everybody can understand. I maybe should have went and gotten myself a law degree in French, then I would have had no problem. I would have breezed through the application process, but that's a huge disadvantage for a lot of people. And maybe many people don't apply because of it, or definitely discouraged because of it. So I think it's really outdated. Their whole system is, if you're applying for an English film, for God's sakes, it should be an English application. I mean, come on, French, if you want to apply for a French film, then yes, it should be in French. I mean, these language issues we have here, trying to control how people speak, what, language they fill out forms in. Whereas at Telefilm, they have their own issues too. I think they need to be more equitable and need to do better at communicating with artists and making them feel welcome in the process, which I think is a little bit of improvement, but they still have a lot to work on. But I will give them credit. At least they're not charging the public extra money to apply. So if an artist is applying, you're not paying a fee. You're either a profitable organization or you're not. You're there to serve the public. You're there to serve the artists, to give them opportunities to fund and to, do projects that will benefit society, that will encourage artists to, improve on their craft of acting or filmmaking, than the technical side, whatever the case may be. So if you can't afford to have a people assess the work properly, then close the organization. I mean, I don't know what to say about that. I heard someone who said that on Facebook was someone who worked at SODEC previously. So I won't name the person. It was on an arts Facebook group page. It was a chat about grants. And I had seen someone mention that they used to work there and that these policies of like the 80-20 are not just from 1994. These policies are there already from before, since 1975, this person said, and of course, this is just information that I'm giving you based on what I saw on Facebook. I would have to verify that, maybe touch on that on another episode. But I was just appalled to see that because that makes no sense. Like, when you're expressing yourself as an artist, when you're being blocked by language, and not even just language that we've learned in school level French in high school, but it's like this is next level bureaucratic, and the intent is probably to discourage. I can't imagine anyone who drafts like the website of SODEC, you know, actually thought that this is going to be a welcoming experience for artists, and that it's going to engage a lot of great artists who have some good projects, and, you know, we'll be able to get through the process smoothly in applying. So for me, that's like already, you look at their website, it's a deterrent. It was a deterrent for me some years ago. We never were allowed to apply because there was always a reason why we couldn't. And we look, try to find positive, because you know me, those of you who know me well know that, you know, I try to, you know, of course, highlight when there's issues, but I also like to focus on the positive. And I have a really hard time finding things at SODEC in the experience that are positive. So I hope that they're going to do better, but the industry has to wake up. A lot of people have no idea, even at that 80-20 percentage. It's so outdated. We're 2024 now. Like, how is this possible that all these discrimination is still there, and we're capped at 20 to be controlled and contained as far as Anglophones and multi-ethnic artists? It makes no sense. And we rarely see anything that represents us well in the film side. These issues with SODEC, I find, are just really unfair, and I hope people will start talking about it more publicly, because just talking about it amongst one another and saying nothing can be done about it, or, you know, you think if you say something, it's like, you know, people won't like it, or whatever the case may be, asking for equality is not a big ask. And there's absolutely nothing wrong in wanting equality, especially when it's with our own tax money. We deserve better, and we have to ask for better. So one thing I wanted to mention, because I gave it a shot at SODEC to try to see if there were opportunities that I could find that I would be eligible for. And my team and I, you know, were trying to see where, you know, we could be given an opportunity to be assessed fairly and to get a shot at applying for some of the opportunities that they share throughout the year. So I want to talk to you about one opportunity which I saw last year in the newsletter, and it's called LA Boulevard. So when I read the just like the basic description of this, I thought, oh wow, this looks really cool, and this could be something that could be interesting for me to further develop my skills as a screenwriter. So I don't know if any of you have had the chance of seeing that opportunity, or if any of you have been eligible to apply, but I will tell you my experience. So basically, I think this LA Boulevard opportunity is indirectly arranged to send Francophone screenwriters to do a workshop to develop a show in LA and network in their Anglophone industry in LA. They also get to visit big TV studios and meet showrunners. So we pay taxes to fund opportunities to send Francophones to the Anglophone state of California, while we have to prove we are historic Anglos to get municipal and provincial government services in Quebec. Don't you find that outrageous? I certainly do. Yes. up with our podcast updates on Instagram, Montreal's Moments. That's Montreal's with a Z. Facebook, you can find our content on Zensa Media page, and of course on Balado Quebec website, where you can check us out on Montreal's Moments page as well there. So in this LA Boulevard opportunity, this was what was really interesting. So this opportunity gives someone a chance for several weeks to spend in Los Angeles to develop a TV series. And several, I think they send, if I'm not mistaken, there's about several people, I think, that are sent for this opportunity. Most of them from France, because it's a collaboration with an organization in France and SODEC. And SODEC sends one person from Quebec to this opportunity. And I thought, oh, wow, this is great. So I had this great TV series idea that I thought I would like to develop. And this opportunity seemed like a great one to be able to work on it. And when I looked further into this opportunity, I had a lot of back and forth with the lady who was in France. So I spoke to someone at SODEC about it, who was responsible for that particular opportunity. And she asked me some questions. She sent me some more documentation about the opportunity. And you had to have been a screenwriter on a TV series, at least 3 episodes. You had to be part of a union. And it was really like, from what it seemed like, to develop somebody's skills who was already in the industry and very established. But yet when you look at the opportunity, it's really to learn and to, have this like workshop to develop, a screenplay. And there are a lot of people that may not be part of the union, or that may have not written episodes for TV yet, but are very skilled at it. But regardless, so the situation was that you need to have written 3 episodes for a TV series. So I asked the lady at SODEC that I spoke to, how is it possible that somebody would have written 3 episodes in Montreal? Maybe there are some, so we're not going to say that it's not impossible. Of course not, because there are some Montreal screenwriters that may be writing for TV shows in Toronto, or they might have written for shows, much earlier on in the 90s. There's people out there for sure. But I haven't seen any Anglophone TV fiction show produced in Montreal for Montrealers. Like, I don't think we have any. We had a couple of shows from Toronto, I think, filming here. But again, I don't know how that would be assessed. But for, let's say, local people here, Montrealers, we don't have a ton of like local shows. We have a lot of Francophone ones, but we don't have Anglophone fiction shows produced by Montrealers where, you have a fair shot at being selected as a screenwriter to write episodes. I don't think on any of the major networks we have that. So I asked them how would it be possible then for a Montrealer to be considered for this opportunity when there aren't any English shows. I would love to write for, a TV series in Montreal, definitely, or within Canada for sure. And but it's really hard to get that kind of opportunity. It is really about who you know, not always about necessarily your educational background or your experience in the industry. We all know this. So there's so many like French shows I would love to write for, but it's so tough to get even to speak to somebody that's producing those shows. And of course, being multicultural background, it's extremely, extremely rare on a French fiction show to see an ethnic name. I don't think I've ever seen that in any of the comedy series, for example. I've never seen ethnic names in the screenwriting or in the major part of the crew portion of those projects. On the teams, I haven't seen that. So I asked this lady, how would I be assessed for something like this? I have almost like no chance of being given this opportunity. I go, this opportunity to me seems like it's for Francophones, but I go, it's LA though. I go, why aren't Anglophones being given a fair shot? You'd have to maybe put some criteria where Anglophones can be considered in this as well. And I asked this question because, you know, we all know that we're hearing in the news practically every day, there's too much English and in Quebec and everybody has to speak French all the time. And, you know, we're hearing all this from Mr. Roberge, who says he can't stand hearing so much English. It's too much for him to be hearing all this English. And he wants people to speak French. He wants the young people to speak French. Yet here you have Francophones who, you know, also have to do their part to maintain their language, are being given like a first track, you know, route to Los Angeles to be able to write, you know, within a workshop and meet showrunners that are English speaking. And they're going to develop content that, you know, in a framework that is Anglophone. So it's baffling. It truly is baffling. And I said, but I'm like a multi-ethnic, but I want to create content in French and English. So in this opportunity, I'd like to create the work in English. And I'm not being assessed fairly. And, you know, they were willing to be flexible on one of the criterias. But this one, the three episodes, they were not willing to bend on this. So then they asked me to check with the team in France, was organizing the event. And when I asked, it was like, no on any of the criteria, no flexibility whatsoever. So when I asked, I said, then that means it's only Francophones who are going to be able to apply for the most part. You know, like I said, there might be a few English artists who have written for shows in Toronto, possibly, you know, who would want to, you know, explore this opportunity. But to me, this opportunity seemed not a beginner opportunity, but an opportunity to be kind of introduced into the industry in the States and to develop the show. Someone maybe who doesn't necessarily have the contacts, you know, but can develop their skills further and be able to pitch a show in the States, or, you know, maybe a show within Canada and learn at least the skills required, you know, to really do a proper show, to write it properly, to pitch it properly. So whatever the case may be. Yeah. So I was just told, you know, yes, thank you for your interest. And yeah, but we're not flexible on any of those criteria. So that means LA Boulevard is for Francophones. It's presented as it's for everyone who meets the criteria. But I would wonder who put those criteria together, because the person who put those criteria together was not thinking about people like me who have more than a decade of experience and, you know, have won a lot of awards and short films or doing web series and, you know, would love to do a TV series. But, you know, there's a lot of competition, yes, but you should at least make the criteria fair. And I'm sure there's many of you artists out there as well who probably would be qualified, you know, to be part of this workshop to develop a TV series, but are just not assessed fairly. So I thought nobody spoke about this opportunity, and a lot of the opportunities, everyone talks about it behind the scenes, but nobody openly talks about it. You know, we're part of an industry. We're not just individuals. And when you just look at your own work, and I can say that my colleague Alexandra and I have done that too. So I guess I'm, you know, didn't realize it as well, but we also get caught up in our own projects and we're so focused on our projects and our productions, finding the right, you know, talent to be, you know, in the acting part of it. You know, put our crews together and then send to festivals. And we get caught up in a lot of that we sometimes don't see the bigger picture. But the thing is, it's important to look at the bigger picture, because if you don't, you don't really know where you're going. We've done 10 short films, I think, and we've done all kinds of different media content. But yeah, like many of you, we've had to work other jobs to pay for our short films. And then we have debts on all the short films. You know, that's unfortunate. That's not like a proper way to work. That's like, yes, as a hobby, people may do that. That's okay. But like, you know, I've studied in the film program and I've studied a lot in media. I've taken a ton of workshops. I've really developed my skills. And, you know, it wasn't for it to be treating my work as a hobby. It's a profession. And there are certain skills, you know, that you develop and that you want to make a, you know, career out of. And I don't think that the current system that we have in Quebec is a supportive one. It's supportive for a small group of people, and it's supportive for Francophone artists, which is wonderful for them, but it's not fair for people that are multi-ethnic and Anglophone. And before anybody says anything, yes, for some it's working. I get that. I know some people are in the right teams and they're not necessarily doing the applications, so they don't understand. But for myself as a producer, I know how tough it is. And I know many people who have struggled and who have applied and, you know, have been given, you know, bad comments or have felt, you know, their work wasn't assessed fairly for various reasons, because they're women or their perspectives are something that the readers probably couldn't understand and couldn't grasp, because they just don't get it. And, you know, when you have an organization that has a board membership that is fully Francophone in the mirror image of our arts and culture minister, Lacombe, I just wonder what goes on at that table. And if ethnic people are spoken about in any positive way, and if Anglophones are spoken about in a positive way, if Indigenous people are spoken about in a positive way, I would be doubtful of that. When you don't have anybody from those perspectives at the table, I would be highly doubtful that there's someone there at the table and everybody would agree that they need to do more for multiculturalism, because Quebec missed the diversity matters memo and they missed the representation matters memo. That I saw it like during the pandemic. I saw how in the States it became a really big movement. It became somewhat of a movement in the rest of Canada and the arts and culture industry. But Quebec, I was just waiting and waiting and waiting for Quebec to get on board, for the Minister of Culture to get on board and say that he's going to do more for equality for the artists, for arts organizations to not just write it on their website that they support cultural diversity and they're fair and they're inclusive, but to show it in action. Whenever I see that on the website, I want to see what the concrete actions are to back those things up. And I don't think you find in many instances, in Quebec especially, that means anything. Because I've seen it on websites where they say that they, you know, they're culturally diverse, inclusive and all this. But when you look at the people who are getting hired and the people, the way those people hired speak to the people on the receiving end of, you know, arts grants and arts organizations, some places they're doing good, but many places it's the same or maybe even worse. I think some places I've seen it's even worse than it was before. We're seeing crackdowns on like cultural diversity. We're not represented on the screen and you see less and less in some places. So I think that's unfortunate. So that's just something I wanted to share. And I hope fellow artists that you will see the bigger picture. We are all part of an industry. We are not at the mercy of it. We are part of it. We are there to make it better. Most artists are in the industry to share their art and not necessarily there, you know, just to make a living, but to contribute something to society through the forms, various forms of art and music, acting, dancing, painting, screenwriting, directing, producing, whatever the case may be. And we have to demand better. So I would really suggest you reach out to your MNAs and you reach out to your MPs and share your experience. If they don't know, then how will they stand up for equality for the artists that are in the Anglophone and the multicultural and Indigenous communities? So we have to give people the benefit of the doubt. I think speaking up for equality is not a big ask. So I hope you will share your comments on this and tell me what you think of this topic and share your experiences with my team as well. So this year in 2024, my Zensa Media team will be celebrating our 7th edition Zensa Media International Film Festival later this year. It will be in the month of November 2024. So you can send us your films on Film Freeway website. That is our Zensa Media International Film Festival page. And you can also send us an email, Zensa Media, so Z-E-N-S-A, media at gmail.com for more information on how to apply to send your films. And we'll have our guest judges then that will be looking at the films and will select the official selections that will be announced later this year as well. So yeah, send that to us when you can. So that was one of the important topics I wanted to mention. Another topic, which is also something that just kind of had a little blip in the news, but usually anytime I've brought it up with anyone in any leadership role is usually silence or just kind of they don't know what to say about it. So this is something that's really important too. So in Canada's box office for films, how much percentage do you think are Canadian films? So when I saw this on the National on CBC, this was in 2023, just maybe a week or so after the Oscars in 2023, and there was a news report. So if I were to think Canada's box office, how much Canadian films would be there, I would have probably estimated maybe 25-35% of films. And I couldn't have been more wrong. And I don't know how much you guys think are Canadian films in the Canadian box office, but wouldn't you believe it? It is only 5%. In the entire country's box office, 5% are Canadian films. Can you imagine that? How many of our artists from Canada go to the US and are amazing talent that if we were giving them projects here, they would be contributing to the economy here and the industry here and putting Canada on the map, not only in the US, but internationally. And, you know, so many of our artists are in the States, right? We have Drake, we have Justin Bieber, we have Michael Bublé, we have Celine Dion, notre Céline Nationale, you know, as singers contributing to the economy in the States. We have so many actors, right? We have TV hosts that are there. We have Simu Liu, we have Keanu Reeves, one of my favorites, you all know. We have a bunch of wonderful artists. We have Martin Short, who's also working in the States. We have Howie Mandel, who's a Canadian and is on America's Got Talent as a guest judge. So, you know, they're all working over there and contributing to the industry there, which is okay. That's fine. Wherever the opportunities are, we can't blame the artists. They go where the opportunities are. But what are we doing as a Canadian society here? With all the investment that goes into the industry, where does this money go? Where are the films that we're funding with our tax money? I mean, I've wondered that. You know, but I've understood with my team, we've done some research on it and we've spoken to some industry leaders. We've done a panel where, you know, I interviewed like 250 artists and media figures from different backgrounds to understand what is going on. So basically, we're an export country and we're an export province. That in itself is something that is quite baffling when you think about it, because our tax money is funding most of the films and those films are going abroad. So we're not seeing those films here. And that to me also, I wonder why that is. Are the films not for local public? Which I would think maybe, because I see a lot of melancholy films being green lighted. Maybe some good ones in there. There's some great documentaries. I know some people who've done some documentaries have received funding and they're doing great jobs. So, you know, I'm not going to say all the films, but I see a lot of the fictional you know, films that get made, or at least the descriptions when you see them, what they're about. A lot of them are melancholy films. When I took a screenwriting course some years ago, I took a screenwriting level one and an advanced level screenwriting intensive course. And one of my screenwriting teachers that I had, he had said, if you can make someone laugh in your screenplay, then you're a great screenwriter. Because one of the hardest things is to make somebody laugh. So if you play your film in theater and people are laughing at all the points, you know, that you had hoped, and maybe sometimes even the points that you may have not expected, but, you know, you entertain the public, that in itself is huge as far as like your skills as a screenwriter, because it's really tough to make people laugh. And, you know, people have different sense of humor. And so when you can make a bunch of people laugh who are from different, you know, backgrounds and different upbringings, you know, you've scored big as a screenwriter. I know that one of the joys of seeing, you know, a film, one of my films with an audience, and a lot of like my team's films are comedies because we enjoy, you know, writing those and producing those. So watching people laugh and at all, and usually at all the right points that we thought were the quick kind of witty jokes were, it's so much fun to see that. I can't even describe it to you. That's probably one of my favorite things about being a filmmaker is entertaining people and watch them enjoy the films that we make. That to me is just number one. I would even say probably that's part of the process of filmmaking, is watching it with an audience and watching them enjoy it and saying, oh my god, that was such a funny joke, or I love that character, or the story was so fun and entertaining, or oh, I never thought about it like that, but that was an interesting point of view shared by one of the characters. That part of it is just so much fun. So that's like a big thing when, you know, you can make someone laugh, and that's a really important part of a great comedy. So Getting back to the 5% in the box office being Canadian films, I think nobody is asking this question. Journalists do not touch this topic. I was actually amazed that CBC even had this segment to talk about it, but they just gave a one-sided story of it. They never looked into why it's only 5%. They never asked anybody in the industry who would know. The first person to call would have been the arts and culture minister, maybe, you know, in the provinces to ask what's happening, maybe to speak to someone in some of the unions, you know, who are in the leading unions, to see what is going on. Why is that? Maybe as someone who does stats, you know, and to see what reason is that. How is it possible that Canada has so much great talent, has a ton of investment in arts funding? The private sector is becoming smaller and smaller, and I'm seeing so much more people in the private sector now going into the taxpayer-funded sector to compete with independent artists, which I think is also not fair. They can maybe have a separate category for people of a certain level of accomplishment, or, you know, stop ruining the private sector. You know, and depending on American films to come film here, it's wonderful that they come here. It's great. And it creates jobs and it creates all kinds of things for the economy. You know, that's wonderful. But the investment also has to be in the local talent, and the films have to be shown to the public. The public here in Quebec and in Canada are paying for films to be made at Telefilm and at SODEC. And those films get exported to the European markets. Just go take a glance at any of their websites and you'll see the Berlinale, this festival in Europe, that one. Everything's export. Go look at co-productions with people outside. It's always outside. Go, oh, SODEC had, I think, an opportunity for an artist, a Quebecois artist, to go to the UK and go promote Quebecois culture in the UK. You're paying for that. I'm paying for that with my taxes. And we're not being assessed fairly, you know, when we're trying to apply. So something to think about. Why are we exporting so much of the talent? Why are we exporting the films? If the films are good and if they represent society, show them here and let the public here assess it. Is there money being spent properly? Yes or no? Of course, export some. We have to be showing our work outside of the country as well, and inspire people and you know, show them different forms of art and create dialogue and all this. Yes, all wonderful things, but it has to be equitable. There's so much of this industry that's outdated, folks. Like, really, I don't understand it. It's just baffling, you know? It really is. It's working for a small group of people, and for the rest of the people are just, working other jobs and spending their money, savings onto the films that they want to create. And that makes no sense, especially when you're doing it at a professional level. It just makes no sense. So it's something to think about. It's not normal, 5%. Of films in Canadian box office or Canadian films. It should be at least 35, 45, if not even 50%. So we should be looking into this and having dialogue about this, and not just talk, but some concrete action to have it at least 35, 45% should be the goal of Canadian films and Canadian industry. So share some of your comments about this topic, and I'll share some of your comments on one of our upcoming shows as well. Keep up with our podcast updates on Instagram, Montreal's Moments. That's Montreal's with a Z. Facebook, you can find our content on Zensa Media page, and of course on Balado Quebec website, where you can check us out on Montreal's Moments page as well there. Mm-hmm.